It's been 50 years since the start of the Cuban Missile Crisis, the closest the world has come to nuclear war. The crisis began when a U.S. spy plane spotted a Soviet military base in northern Cuba, equipped with nuclear weapons capable of reaching the U.S., and there because Cuba feared the U.S. was planning to invade and topple its socialist revolution. Well, 50 years on, the socialist system is still in place. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford visited the Cuban countryside and reports on what's left from those tense days in October 1962.
I've just caught a horse and cart down a mud track through the Cuban countryside, and we're heading towards the lush green hills in the distance, which look tranquil today in the warm sunshine. But 50 years ago, this spot here was right at the heart of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And we're heading now to see if we can find some of the traces of that history.
Our route took us past the overgrown road built by Soviet troops to move their nuclear missiles across Cuba. And then in a clearing, we found this. I was with a Cuban military historian of the crisis, Ruben Jimenez, and he showed me a family's cyclone shelter with part of a nuclear missile silo around it for extra protection.
And I'm heading away from the house and the animals here. Just passing a pen full of tiny piglets. And my guide, who just happens to be called Stalin, is leading me deep into the woods. Oh, wow. And just emerge the other side, and there's a heap of big arcs of concrete, probably some 10 or 12 meters long, higgledy-piggledy in a big pile here. And these were the silos, the stores for the nuclear warheads.
The local farmer, Jose, tells me he's proud to have it here. It's historic, he says. Then it's a long, hot trek into the hills to the spot where the USSR once pointed its missiles at America.
La potencia de la cabeza nuclear era de un megatón.
Ruben tells me the warhead for each one was 77 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. But the missiles were huge too, and the Soviet assumption they'd be mistaken for palm trees clearly wrong.
Yo creo que se podían haber enmascarado.
I think the Soviets could have hidden the missiles if they'd asked for Cuban help. They could have disguised the missiles with chicken or tobacco sheds, but they didn't do that. It's one of the incomprehensible aspects of the crisis that they barely took any camouflage measures. It was negligence by the Soviets, a lack of initiative.
I have directed that the following initial steps be taken immediately.
Sure enough, the Soviet bases were spotted by U.S. spy planes. And on October the 22nd, President Kennedy announced a naval blockade of Cuba.
All ships of any kind bound for Cuba, from whatever nation or port, where they're found to contain cargoes of offensive weapons, be turned back.
Fidel Castro had allowed the missiles onto the island to protect his socialist revolution from U.S. aggression. Just a year before, his troops had fought off Cuban exiles backed by the CIA at the Bay of Pigs. But it was a high-risk strategy. And near the launch site, I met Julio Luaces, who recalls the tense days that followed Kennedy's broadcast.
We all knew that if there was a problem there, it was all over. There were two great powers, Russia and the United States, armed to the teeth. So we knew the danger was for everyone, and it wasn't easy.
The height of danger came on October the 27th, when an American spy plane was shot down over Cuba. But cool heads did prevail. 2 days later, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev agreed to remove his missiles. John F. Kennedy pledged not to invade Cuba. Fidel Castro was sidelined. But one of his key military commanders during the crisis, Oscar Fernandez Mel, told me for Cuba, taking the world to the brink of nuclear disaster ultimately paid off.
Ganamos una más. Era lo que planteamos nosotros en el año 80.
When it all finished, we thought, we've won another one, we're still here. And we even brought down a U-2.
Creo que después de eso nosotros salimos mucho más fortalecidos.
I think we emerged from the crisis a lot stronger. We had won another battle. The Americans didn't bomb us, they didn't invade. We're just a little island. They are the most powerful country in the world. But we're still here.
Sin embargo, estamos aquí.
Abre campo.
But riding back past the fragments of that history, it's quite clear it could all so easily have ended differently.
The BBC's Sarah Rainsford. By the way, we asked some historians and military analysts to recommend books about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Fred Kaplan recommends Sheldon Stern's The Cuban Missile Crisis in American Memory and Khrushchev's Cold War by Alexander Forsenko and Timothy Naftali. Retired Army Colonel and Boston University Professor Andrew Bacevich had a different take. Professor Bacevich, your thoughts.
I can understand why people are fascinated by the Cuban Missile Crisis, but I also think that our preoccupation with that particular event distorts our understanding of the era. And if we really want to understand the Cold War, if we want to understand Kennedy, we'd be just as well advised to look elsewhere. And I think in particular, the Berlin Crisis of 1961, among other things, the Berlin Crisis of 1961 in many respects teed up what would become the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962.
So what would you recommend?
Well, there's a wonderful book that I read about 6 months ago by Frederick Kempe called Berlin 1961. It tells the story in a very compelling and dramatic way, but also, I think, causes people to think deeply about what truly are the lessons of that era.
And Andrew Bacevich, while we have you, we've been asking listeners what question they'd like asked at tonight's debate. What's yours?
What should the country have learned from the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War? Iraq War is over. Afghanistan War probably coming to an end. What should we take away as a nation from these two very problematic conflicts?
Andrew Bacevich, retired Army Colonel and BU professor. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, later in the program, more questions for the candidates. Here's one from one of you. Nuruddin wants to ask, where do the poor fit in your vision? Will the poor have a voice in your administration? And we'll have more questions from a veteran later today. Latest news is next, here and now.